Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. We welcome you here in the name of the Lord. Thanks for being here for our service today. Question for you. Where's the safest place you go? Just think of in your own mind the safest place you go. Maybe it's back home or with family or friends. The place where you feel the safest. And you can just be yourself in that place. That's how the Lord wants you to feel when you're here with all of us. We're all believers together in Christ, and we all know that we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but we all have salvation through one man, Jesus, who loved us. And so that's how he wants you to feel when you're here with your Christian family, is safe and at home and comfortable. And this morning in our church service, we're blessed to be together and feel that way. It's a safe place to come. It's a place that's different than the craziness of the world. And it's a place that looks different and sounds different and is a blessing because of that. So we welcome you again. Our hymn of invocation this morning is hymn 907, which is God Himself is Present. So if you sing that hymn with us and stand on the last verse of the hymn, if you're able, we'll begin our service that way. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
You made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
We continue with our intro this morning from Psalm 34. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, your divine wisdom sets in order all things in heaven and on earth. Put away from us all things hurtful and give us those things that are beneficial for us. through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this morning comes from the book of Ecclesiastes in the 5th chapter. We don't see the book of Ecclesiastes in our lectionary very often. A blessing to have our reading, of course, this morning from the wisdom of Solomon in that book. Notice this text encourages us in amazing ways in our daily and practical lives. Towards the end of the reading, we'll hear that it's good to find enjoyment and joy in common things, eating and drinking and the things like that, that those are also blessings from the Lord. Sometimes we get caught up in the bigger things and we miss the simple blessings that the Lord gives us. This text encourages us in that way. We begin at verse 10 of chapter 5. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? Sweet is the sleep of the laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. There is a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. And he is father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. And he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand. This also is a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for the wind? Moreover, all his days he eats in darkness, in much vexation and sickness and anger. Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our psalm this morning. Psalm 119 is categorized by Hebrew letters, and this one, the word that looks like an English Beth, is actually the Hebrew word letter, Beit, and this is the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And we begin in verse 9 and read through verse 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the just decrees of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your way. I will find delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Our next reading comes from the book of Hebrews in the 4th chapter. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward in words already quoted, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand if you're able, and we sing our Alleluia for our gospel reading this morning. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last and the last first." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Would you join us in confessing our Christian faith this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our sermon hymn this morning? That's hymn number 602, "The Gifts Christ Freely Gives." Let's sing. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Randy, for handing out those scraps of paper. If you don't have one, you'll get one in just a second. He's passing out little scratch pieces of paper that we'll use if you want to later in the service. Those are for the purpose that we'll talk about here in a little bit. Jesus, our risen Lord, this morning in our gospel reading says to us in no uncertain terms in verse 27 these words: with man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. Now here in our text, Jesus is specifically commenting on those with wealth entering the kingdom of heaven when he says these words. Right? He says, how difficult is it? How hard is it? Like a camel through the eye of a needle. And by the way, he's talking about a literal needle and a literal camel. There's lots of fantasies out there that there's some other more accessible gate or something in Jerusalem that a camel could barely squeeze through. Don't listen to that stuff. He's talking about a needle and a big camel. But notice that he doesn't say that having wealth on earth or entering the kingdom is the only thing that's possible with God. It is indeed possible to have wealth or riches and enter the kingdom of God. Jesus tells us that here, and thank God that it is, right? Because for us today, in the world's view, in our world scope, even the poorest among us is so very, very rich. So thank God. But along with this declaration about the rich, Jesus makes an all-encompassing statement, and a very important one. He said, for all things are possible with God. He did not say, some things are possible with God. He said, all things. All things. Let that sink in for just a second. All things are possible with God. Now we all, at one point or another in life, will find ourselves in situations that seem to us to be impossible. Have you ever been in one of those? I've been in one. We've been in one, right? In life. Feels impossible. We'll even say that. Right? The sinful world can create for us a situation that feels impossible. And we'll even say in our moments of frustration or our prayers, as we're walking around wherever we go walk around, or as we're sitting wherever we sit and talk to God, we'll say, God, it just feels impossible. In those situations, we're wise to remember the words of our Lord Jesus this morning. All things are possible with God. Maybe today isn't a day when it's feeling impossible for you. I hope it's not. Those days aren't that fun when it feels impossible. So I hope for your sake it isn't, but there is this thing that we all sort of have to acknowledge about life, right? And that's not really, the question isn't really if we're going to go through a struggle or if there's going to be struggles. But the question is more like, when is there going to be a struggle? If you're not in a struggle now, if today isn't a day where there's an impossible situation in your life, then sing all the louder this morning our hymns. Pray all the more fervently. Give and serve Christ all the more passionately for the blessing of peace that he's delivered to you and the blessing you have this morning. But if you're not, if you're feeling like you're in that struggle today, and when you came in the door to the church, it was kind of on you like a dark cloud, and something seems impossible to resolve inside of you or outside of you, and there's trouble at foot in your world, then listen closely. God has heard your prayers, and he comes to you today also to bless you with his truth, and his truth will bring hope, and it always does. Even in the valley of the shadow, he comforts us. His hope of green pastures ahead never disappoints. And he has hope to share with you and with me today. Look back with me for a moment to some people in the scriptures who found themselves in impossible situations. This is where the Sunday school stories that we learned as children, or maybe that some of our children this morning heard even this morning, come back up to mind. Like, here's one. Daniel in the lion's den. Remember that Bible story? It's in Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 6. And there in the book of Daniel, these officials in Babylon, they start getting all over King Darius and trying to get him to make an irrevocable injunction that nobody can pray to anyone except for, guess who? King Darius. So, they succeed in getting King Darius to make this injunction irrevocable by the law of the Medes and the Persians. It's irrevocable. The leaders knew that Daniel would not in good conscience be able to adhere to this irrevocable law. And what does Daniel do? He keeps praying to God 3 times a day. And you gotta love Daniel, right? Because he keeps the window open in his room when he's praying. He keeps being faithful to God, and the result, the punishment for breaking the irrevocable edict of King Darius, throw him in a den of hungry lions, and his flesh is the only food in the den. You want to talk about an impossible situation? There's one. There's no way possible that Daniel gets out of that lion's den alive. I don't care who you are, how you sign it, what color you make it, or what you do. He's toast. It's over for Daniel. And guess what? Here's what Daniel says the next morning after his calm night with this hungry pack of full-grown lions. He has something to say to King Darius. He says this, "My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me. Because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king, I have done no harm." Guess what? Our Lord's words. They can dissolve that dark cloud that wants to follow us around. They can take it and make it into a bright, sunny day. Our Lord's words say, nothing is impossible with God. And in that, we find our hope, like Daniel in the lion's den. Didn't seem possible, and yet it was. How about this? Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Remember those guys? Those poor guys. They got thrown into a fiery furnace. And they didn't die. That's impossible. Not with God. What about Israel? Here's a couple quick ones, right? Israel, standing on the bank of the Red Sea, the Red Sea's out in front of them, Pharaoh's army's behind and chasing them down to either recapture them or kill them. Who knows what Pharaoh was going to decide to do? They're stuck. They're caught. It's impossible. What does God do? He splits the Red Sea in half, and the people walk through on dry ground. But we've been doubting him in our own lives, in our own impossible situations. We've been thinking he won't help. Let us think that no longer. Because our Lord told us nothing is impossible with God. The man born blind in John chapter 9. He was born blind and then he was grown up. Don't you think he thought it was impossible that he would see again until he runs into Jesus? What about the widow at Nain? What about the 10 lepers? What about, of all examples, what about Mary, the mother of Jesus, when the angel comes to her and says that she's going to have a baby? Now, she phrases it quite nicely. I mean, she's very respectful to the angel. And she says, "How could this be?" She's sweet, right? In her mind, she's thinking, "That's impossible." Luke chapter 1, verse 37, guess what is said there? The angel, "Nothing will be impossible with God." Jesus makes it possible. Whatever it is. I don't know what dark cloud, if you came in with one this morning or you came in with the baggage on the back that you don't really want to share with anybody, we understand. It's not impossible. The situation is not impossible because of Jesus. He's a King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He can do anything that needs to be done. There's a little struggle there, right? With faith and doubt that starts right in with us. "Oh, Pastor, what are you saying? My situation's going to get solved, that it's all going to work out?" Yeah, I've heard that enough. I don't need another pep talk from you. No, God is promising you that it's going to work out. And he promises us in the book of Romans that all things work to the good of those who believe and are called according to his purpose. That's what he promises, not me. The biggest impossible situation, the biggest moment where it looks like we all lost, it was the cross. He really died. His life ceased. Your Lord, my Lord. And he was put in a grave. And the grave was sealed, right? And for those disciples, the men and the women, it had to have felt like this whole thing's impossible. But what happened? We all know the Easter story. He came back. He came back to life. His words are true. And he said to us this morning, nothing is impossible with God. Let that message sink in. Trust him. We don't know how exactly he's going to work out the situations that we deal with in our life. And they may not work out the way that we think they should, or in our time, right? Or any of the things that we've preconceived on how any situation could be solved. They might not happen that way, but we have the promise of God, and we cling to the promise of God that no matter what it is, there's nothing that's impossible with God. And we're his children. Jesus called us that in the gospel reading. I love it. He says, "Children, nothing will be impossible with God." Last one. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. When we're dealing with sin, and we deal with sin and temptation every day in our lives, when we're dealing with it, sometimes it feels impossible to defeat it. You know, people that struggle with the sin over and over and over and over and over, and I say people, I mean everybody, right? Struggles with sin over and over and over, and then they come to church and they say, "Oh Lord, forgive me for that sin," but in the back of their mind they're thinking, "Well, I'm not sure if I'm done with that yet." And then they ask the next week, forgive me. And then they go and they indulge in the same sins over and over and over. And they come back to the same church and in the same room, or even often in the same pew, they say, forgive me. And then, and God does, and then they go back. And then you know what starts to happen? We start thinking, could God really forgive me when I'm treating his forgiveness like that? That seems kind of impossible. Hear the words of our Lord this morning. We are forgiven. Nothing is impossible with God. He can right the wrongs. He can save, and he will save, and he will fix all things. He will repair relationships. He will bring peace and conflict, and he can heal and soothe even in the toughest situation, and he can and he will. And so you and I stand because of that cross and because of his resurrection. We stand righteous before him, just like Daniel said to King Darius, just like Job held on to the whole time, that the things that happen to us and the things that come our way and our dark clouds and our troubling situations and our impossible situations, those things are not punishment. Not for you, his children. Christ took the punishment for sin. Don't think about it like that. Trust in God's words. Nothing is impossible for him. He will bring us forever and ever into the heavenly kingdom. And I don't doubt that when I'm standing, if I'm standing there at the gate looking into heaven, I'm going to think, I get to be here? That seems impossible. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord, you are near to the brokenhearted, and you save the crushed in spirit, like the psalm told us. Deliver us from every struggle and situation, that the praise of your name would be continually in our mouths, and that confidence in your promises we would continually have. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O God, with us salvation is impossible. We can't do it on our own. But with you all things are possible. Give boldness to your church to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, by whose death and resurrection the way of your kingdom has been opened. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious God, bless all who study at our universities, seminaries, and schools. Lord, bless all students in our land and all schools. Lord, but continue to raise up more pastors and deaconesses and DCEs and church workers and teachers. For the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Lord, in your mercy. Spare the servants of your church, Lord, from the love of wealth and from fear of the difficulty of their task, that they would gladly set aside every comfort for the sake of your gospel. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, lead our households to find eternal rest in your Son and in his Word. Give fathers and mothers diligence in their teaching their children. Give them hearts that willingly set aside selfish behavior for the sake of each other and service to you. And preserve us all from hardness of heart. Give us urgency to always hear again the good message of salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God. Lord God, we beseech you this morning and for the coming weeks, especially, to guide our nation and its leaders in true wisdom, that you'd promote honest labor, temporal protection, and fitting enjoyment under the sun. Guide your Christians to serve Christ in their citizenship, the duties that are there, like voting, and in their callings and vocations. Do not let our hearts be occupied with the vanity of riches that perish, but with the true joy of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. When the righteous cry, you hear, O Lord, and deliver them out of all their troubles. Draw near to save the brokenhearted, the crushed in spirit, the sick, and those who are in need. Especially we name this morning Jaden, Frank Rendon, Jasmine Cody, Anna, the family of Irene Monser Chadwick, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Kenny Rodman, Dick Greitz, Donna Erke, Richard Lynch, Janice Ross, Betty Paulson, Lori Hauser, Jim and Linda Holman, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jury, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, in your mercy. Since we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, hold us fast in our confession through all temptation and preserve us from all sin, O Lord. Give your blessing to all who draw near to your throne of grace, especially those who receive this blessed sacrament this day, that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, your Son left his earthly home to do his saving work, and so he knows what it is to leave family behind. Comfort your children who have left home and loved ones for the sake of the gospel. Set them firmly into the family of the church and sustain them in the hope of eternal life in the age to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our offering, a chance to give unto the Lord a portion of the things that he's blessed us with. Truly is an honor and a blessing to share with the Lord in thanksgiving. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we sing hymn 748, I'm But a Stranger Here. Let's sing. morning before the sermon, Randy came around and handed you a piece of scrap paper. The purpose for that scrap paper was to, if you are in the middle of one of those situations that feels impossible to you, it's not impossible with God, to work through that and make that work out according to His will. So we invite you to write down on that piece of paper what that situation is and to fold that so no one can see it. When you come up to receive the body and blood of the Lord, bring that thing with you and drop it in a basket that we'll have up here on the altar, and trust that it's possible with God, whatever that situation is. Just leave it up here this morning with Him. That's just an opportunity to do that if you'd like. We now come to the time in our service for our service of the sacrament. So we invite everyone to stand if you're able. And we thank those who've tuned in on the radio this morning for being with us in our service. And we'll continue on page 9 in your bulletin with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings You so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for Your boundless love shown to us when You sent Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on Him our sin, giving Him into death that we might not die eternally. Because He is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in Him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and saying, blessed are You, O Lord God, King of all creation, for You have had mercy on us and given us Your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. In Your righteous judgment, You condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and You justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in Your great mercy, You promised salvation by a second Adam, Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made His cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in Him. We give You thanks for the redemption You've prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us Your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of His cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in His body and blood. Hear us as we pray in His name and as He taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup. When He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week. KSPK.